Rule number 13. Snow boots may not look as good as high-heeled zip-up boots, but they will never let you down. By morning recess, most of the ice had melted, so we were allowed to go outside, which was good, because spending recess inside was always fun for a while. Mrs. Hunter let us play with her old board games. The game of life was especially hilarious. But I've always noticed boys can get annoying if they're cooped up inside for too long. Possibly, this has to do with not being allowed to throw things at each other's heads. Of course, when we got outside, all anybody could talk about was Mrs. Hunter's speech. It turns out Mrs. Danielson had given her class a similar speech, so all the fourth graders in the whole school were talking about it. At least, the girls were. The boys just went off to play kickball in the wet puddles left over from the ice. Rosemary wouldn't go with them, no matter how much they begged. She wanted to stick around and see what happened with Cheyenne.
"Did you see her face?" she asked me. "I thought she was going to hurl."
This was an accurate observation. Cheyenne hadn't just looked like she was going to hurl. She'd actually looked like she was going to cry. I'd noticed right after Mrs. Hunter's speech that Cheyenne had reached inside her desk, pulled out her pencil box, the plain one, the one that just had flowers, nothing else on it, and had slowly scratched out the big heart she'd drawn on it, with the initials C-O plus P-D equals true love forever inside it. This, Rosemary had observed, had made her feel like hurling. Now, standing around on one of the playground paths at recess, it was too wet for her to go anywhere else in her high-heeled zip-up boots, which were, by the way, suede. I overheard Cheyenne saying loudly to anyone who would listen, "It doesn't matter what Mrs. Hunter says. A love like Patrick and I share can't be denied. We may be too young now, but when we're 16 and we have our driver's licenses, we're going to meet at the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City at midnight on New Year's Eve, and no one is going to be able to stop us." All of her friends looked very impressed. I knew Cheyenne was telling the truth because Patrick had already gotten Stuart to draw a picture of the car he was going to use to drive to meet Cheyenne, a yellow Corvette ZR1 with a supercharged LS9 engine, he said. Patrick didn't have the car yet, but he was going to start saving his money so he could buy it in time for his 16th birthday. I have to say, Patrick didn't seem at all upset about the fact that he and Cheyenne had had to stop going together. None of the boys seemed upset by Mrs. Hunter's speech from that morning. In fact, Patrick was more excited about the car he was going to get than he was about seeing Cheyenne at midnight on New Year's Eve 7 years from now. He seemed way more upset about the fact that Rosemary wasn't interested in playing kickball today than he was about him and Cheyenne having to break up. But then, I didn't understand what Cheyenne had seen in Patrick in the first place, so who was I to judge? Caroline, however, didn't seem impressed at all by Cheyenne's announcement about their plan. She'd apparently had enough of Cheyenne and proved it by marching up to Cheyenne right there on the playground and saying, "You aren't going to be able to drive all the way to New York City when you're 16, Cheyenne. You'll still have to have a licensed driver in the passenger seat when you're driving at that age, especially if you're driving at night. I don't know what the driving laws are where you come from, Cheyenne, but here in the United States, they're different. You and Patrick are going to have to wait until you're 18 at least." Cheyenne looked from Caroline to me, to Rosemary, to Erica, to Sophie. Her face contorted with anger. Really, like a cartoon character's. I don't think I'd ever seen a person that mad. "You!" Cheyenne screamed. Screamed, right in the middle of recess. She pointed a leather-gloved hand at Caroline. "You're the one who told, didn't you? You're the one whose mom called Mrs. Hunter. Don't try to deny it. I can tell." I froze. I couldn't believe it. Cheyenne was totally accusing Caroline, wrongly, of something I'd done. Poor, innocent Caroline. I couldn't let this happen. I had to say something. "Wrong!" Caroline yelled right back at Cheyenne. "It wasn't my mom. It was my dad." What was happening? What was Caroline saying? Why was she lying like this? All the girls standing behind Cheyenne gasped, looking shocked. But before any of them had a chance to say anything mean to Caroline, I did what a good friend should and took a quick step forward, saying, "No, Caroline, what are you talking about? I'm the one who..." "No, I did," Erica said quickly, stepping in front of me. "I told, and my mom called Mrs. Hunter." "Oh my goodness," Sophie said, thrusting her small round body in front of both Erica and Caroline. "No, that's not right at all. I told. My mom asked why I was so unhappy, and I said it was because you and I were fighting, Caroline, and when I told her why, she called Mrs. Hunter. Last night." The four of us stood there, blinking at one another. I felt such a huge wave of love for all of them. Erica, Caroline, and Sophie. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to throw my arms around them and hug them all. Truly, they were the most fantastic friends who had ever lived. "You guys," I said to them, blinking back tears, "you don't have to do this. You don't have to pretend like your parents called Mrs. Hunter. It's okay. My mom did it. I'm willing to take the blame." Erica looked at me blankly. "What are you talking about?" she wanted to know. "My mom was on the phone with Mrs. Hunter for half an hour last night. Our beef stroganoff got cold. Missy was mad. But Mom told her some things were more important than her dinner." "Wait, what? Had their parents really called Mrs. Hunter?" "My dad talked to her for 15 minutes, Caroline said. "She said she'd already heard from a few parents when he called." "My mom must have called right before your dad, Caroline," Sophie said with a laugh. Rosemary, who hadn't said anything, shook her head when we glanced in her direction. "Don't look at me," she said. "My mom didn't call anybody last night, except Pizza Express. I think you're all crazy. In a good way, of course." There was a squeak from the group of girls behind Cheyenne. Cheyenne whipped around to stare at Elizabeth Pukowski, who'd raised her hand as if we were in class. "My mom called too," Elizabeth said shyly. "I'm sorry, Cheyenne. Don't be mad. But my mom says I'm not allowed to go with boys until I'm 14. She was super angry when she heard I was going with Robert. She's taken away all my computer privileges." It was right then that Rosie Myers raised her hand as if she, too, were speaking to a teacher and said, Cheyenne, my dad says I'm not allowed to go with boys either. Not until I'm 16. A few seconds later, Shamira raised her hand and said, "I can't go with boys or get my ears pierced or a MySpace until I'm 18. My mom says we have rules in our house and not to forget it." A couple more girls began raising their hands and telling Cheyenne what their parents had forbidden them from doing. Apparently, a lot of girls at Pine Heights Elementary had rules in their houses, too. It was right after that that an amazing thing happened right in front of our very eyes. Cheyenne got so angry that everyone was saying they weren't allowed to be as mature as she wanted them to be that she turned around real fast to storm off to be by herself. But I guess she turned around a little too fast, because suddenly one of her ankles went out from under her in her high-heeled zip-up boots, and she fell down in a big puddle left over from all the melting ice. Cheyenne got soaking wet. So wet, in fact, that she had to call her mom to come pick her up. I swear I didn't laugh at her, though, as she stood there dripping ice water all over the place, because that wouldn't have been very mature. And I swear, I wasn't happy that Cheyenne missed a bunch of school that day because she twisted her ankle when she fell and had to go get it x-rayed. Because that wouldn't have been very mature of me either. Besides, it's wrong to take delight in the pain of others. That's a rule. Of course, it would have been too much to hope that Cheyenne was so mad about everything that happened that she never came back to school and decided to move back to Canada. That would have been too good to be true. Unfortunately, she was back in school by music class. But she came back wearing one of those booties on her foot like Sophie had to wear for her broken toe, because it turned out she had a sprained ankle. She got a lot of attention because of it, and because of her crutches, but only from Marianne and Dominique, who volunteered to carry her books and things for her. I stopped wanting a pair of high-heeled zip-up boots like hers, though, because I had learned a really good lesson from what had happened to Cheyenne, and saw that my mom had been right all along. On the way home for lunch that day, Caroline said to Sophie as they were holding Kevin's hands and walking him, "Did you really tell your mom that the reason you were so unhappy was because you were in a fight with me?" Sophie looked up at Caroline, who was one of the tallest girls in our class, with tears in her eyes. "Yes," she said. "I hated fighting with you." "Sophie," Caroline said, "I'm really, really, really sorry I told Cheyenne about Prince Peter." "I know," Sophie said. "He and I are broken up now, I guess. I mean, it's not like we've talked about it. Not that we ever talked, which was fine with me, because now I can go back to having a secret crush on him. It's much better that way." "Well," Caroline said, looking as if she felt a little guilty about something, "Lenny and I were never actually going together. I sort of made the whole thing up about asking him to go with me. I don't think he ever even knew we were going together." Kevin started to say something about this, but I shushed him. "Oh," Sophie said, as Erica and I exchanged stunned looks. "Do you forgive me?" Caroline wanted to know. "I forgive you," Sophie said. And they dropped Kevin's hands to hug each other. And just like that, the four of us were friends again. And everything went back to normal. Really? Almost everything. I still have to sit in the last row with those boys. But it's all right, because I have my best friends to support me. And that's all you need, really. That's a rule.